Chapter 21. All the adrenaline, all the emotion of the past several hours weighed heavily. It felt as if a pair of hands pressed on me, pushing me deeper and deeper into the floor. Zora had been staring at me, and it freaked me out a little. I couldn't communicate with her, so I just stared back. She signed something. Betsy translated as she and Michelle tried to clean me up. I was too tired and in too much pain to bother crying out when they touched sensitive places. Every part of my head hurt. Sitting down helped somewhat, but what I really needed was a hospital bed and an IV full of the best painkillers they had on tap.
"I know you,"
Zora signed as Betsy translated with a whisper.
"You're the manager at Big Shot Chicken. You've worked there for years. I didn't recognize you with the purple face."
That's right.
"I stop by before work at least once a week. You always seem distracted,"
she signed.
"You're either playing with that Rubik's Cube or staring off into space."
Surprised, I said, "I don't remember you."
"I know,"
she signed.
"I tried hard for a while to get you to notice me. I thought you were cute. But the cashier girl finally told me not to bother, that you were in love."
Suddenly, I was embarrassed and, what, taken aback? I couldn't bring myself to look at her anymore. It was a strange and awkward moment, so unexpected that it seemed even more surreal than everything else happening around us. It might seem weird, but other than Niff and Samantha, I couldn't remember ever a girl saying she was interested in me. Niff always had guys hitting on her, sometimes right in front of me. I'd gotten used to it. And Niff, to her credit, would respond with something like,
"Can't you see I'm with someone, you piece of shit? Even if I was single, I wouldn't have anything to do with a rude motherfucker like you. So get out of my face before I smash it in."
So, a girl interested in me? And I didn't even notice? I don't know why, but it blew my mind. And for a fraction of a moment, it helped ease the pain I now felt.
"Where is she now? The girl you love?"
Zora asked. And the pain all came back. Even though Betsy interpreted my words, I figured out that Zora wanted me to look directly at her as I spoke, even though she watched the hand gestures at my left. "She's, in the grinder," I said. I could feel the monster just outside. Like if I reached out the window and stood on my tiptoes and let myself fall, it'd be there, ready to catch me. I swallowed hard. "Concentrate. You need to fight it." Patrick looked up from his father's lap. I thought he'd been asleep because he'd been so quiet.
"Her name is Niff,"
the little boy said.
"He's given up on her. So we've given up on him."
The boy lifted his toy gun, only it wasn't a toy anymore. He pointed it under his father's chin. "What the fuck? Kaboom!" Yuri's face jerked and exploded into a geyser of blood and gore. The picture window exploded as the bullet ricocheted and tore through. Patrick casually hopped off his dead father's lap as the body slid out of the office window and landed below. Michelle screamed. Betsy and Zora screamed. I jumped to my feet, putting my back against the door. I reached into the duffel and grabbed for my gun. I grasped plastic. The little bastard had switched the guns. He must have taken it while his mother cleaned my wounds. Betsy backed away to the other side of the room with Zora, signing rapidly. Patrick leveled the gun at me. Beyond him, I now held a panoramic view of the calling floor. Two cats leapt through the cubicles toward us. Another creature, the size of a large saltwater crocodile with a hammerhead, slithered along the floor behind them, knocking over cubicle walls like dominoes with his massive head and tail.
"Patrick!"
Michelle screamed at her son.
"What did you do? You're getting better! What did you do? Yuri! Yuri!"
Blood and pieces of brain dripped from the ceiling. Patrick leveled his gaze at me.
"It would be so easy. You know where she is. You can feel her. Despite turning your back, she still calls out to you. You don't deserve her. We have given up on you, but if you beg, maybe we'll let you in."
Behind me, I could feel the thump, thump of heavy feet climbing the stairs. The door rocked as a monster crashed up against it. Tell your boss to suck my fat cock! Patrick grinned with an expression way too mature for a 4-year-old boy.
You can tell her yourself.
He lowered the gun so it was pointed at my knee. Zora smashed Patrick in the back of the head with the umbrella, and the little boy tumbled away, falling out the same way his father had.
Patrick!
Michelle cried. She rushed to the edge of the room. Behind me, the door rocked again. Zora and I stared at one another.
The roof.
Zora nodded.
The roof,
she repeated out loud, speaking in that stilted way deaf people do. Betsy was already pulling the window open. Michelle sobbed.
Holy shit.
I grabbed for Michelle's shirt just as a double-tailed cat leapt through the broken window from the floor below. The creature's top half split, and we were surrounded by 15 hissing and clawing cats, rolling and smashing against the far wall. The intact bottom half resembled a 2-legged hairy meatball. It skidded to a stop, rolling up against the desks, upending them. Up close, I could see the individual animals more clearly. Rats and more cats twisted and bent to make the hole. The thing smelled of musk and blood. As the meatball tried to stand, blind or disoriented, I didn't know, the detached cats jumped at me and Michelle. Betsy was already out the window with Zora just behind. I kicked, and my foot connected with the closest cat. It flew, howling across the office, hitting hard into a poster for Roman Holiday. Michelle was screaming. A black, long-haired cat had clutched onto her face like one of those things in Alien. Others crawled up her body, shredding as they went. I smacked one away with my duffel. I reached again for Michelle and missed. She fell backwards against the one part of the picture window that hadn't yet broken. She looked as if she wore a multicolored, twitching fur coat. She smashed through the already cracked window, screaming as she fell to her husband and son below. Sickness, pain, fear, it all welled up in me. But I had to keep going. I jumped over a chair and through the open window, landing hard on the roof, knocking over a terracotta pot filled with cactus. I turned to slam shut the window, but a creepy-ass, hairless cat launched itself through the gap and onto my neck. It hissed and spit and tore at the duct tape that held my skin in place. I pulled the cat off, its claws raking my face and jaw as it chomped my hand. I screamed and threw the twisting and hissing ball of cat against the wall next to the window. Spitting and growling, it recovered and launched itself right back at me before I could even register the fucking burning, oh my god, just kill me now pain I was in. Closed-fisted, I punched it in the head. Shit. It actually worked. The thing collapsed onto the overturned cactus, either dead or unconscious. I still wasn't in the clear. The window shattered, and howling animals flooded the rooftop. I turned in time to see the back of Betsy's head leap off the distant edge of the roof, and I ran toward her and Zora. A corrugated steel awning ringed the front of the building. I reached the edge just in time to see the women running across the misty parking lot toward a cluster of 10 or so parked cars.
Hey! Wait for me!
I crashed onto the awning, the duffel bag clutched to my chest. A glass jar and several syringes were in the bag, and if any of those broke, I'd be screwed. I rolled off the awning into the bushes below, branches cracking and poking me as I fell. I worried about the dry suit. If I pierced the waterproof fabric, I'd have to start all over, and all of this would be for nothing. If cats eat me, all of this will be for nothing, too. I jumped from the bushes just as the door slammed to a Ford Explorer 30 feet away. The engine roared, tires squealed.
Wait!
I called again. They weren't waiting. I ran. The truck circled around, and for a moment, I thought they were coming back for me. Instead, the passenger window opened, and Zora tossed something at me. It landed on the asphalt, and I scooped it up as the truck screeched out of the lot. A set of keys. Zora leaned out the window and pointed to 3 cars sitting together at the end of the lot before they disappeared into the fog. I rushed toward the cars. Which car was it? I fumbled with the keys. At least 20 of them. Who the hell uses this many keys? Behind me, an explosion of glass. I hazarded a look over my shoulder to see the hammer-headed crocodile thing barreling down the parking lot. Just above it, cats and rats poured off the roof and onto the awning. Fuck! I scrambled through the keys and found a double-edged one. Please be for a car. The animal beasts were nearly on me. I only had time to try the key of one vehicle. The key had no markings, like a copy of the original. I had 3 choices of cars. Which one would a deaf girl named Zora drive? A deaf girl named Zora who found me attractive. My choices were a battered Ford Focus, a red pickup truck, and a 90s Cadillac DeVille. Had I more than a mere second, I might have been able to puzzle it out. Instead, I chose the Cadillac because it was the oldest one and most likely to have a key like the one she'd given me. I ran up to the car, jamming the key into the door. I chose poorly.
Shit!
I pulled the key out of the lock and turned toward the truck. That's when I saw the license plate on the Focus. Zora Love. I jumped into the bed of the pickup. Crack! The lizard monster smashed into the side of it. The truck flipped sideways with a tremendous crunch as I jumped out the other side. I ducked as the truck rolled over me. It was the bed of the vehicle that saved me, and I crawled where the bed angled up by the cab. As I crawled, dragging the duffel bag with the strap across my chest, I remembered I had a giant knife lashed to my leg. I pulled it free as I emerged into the morning light. I expected a clawing, biting animals, but none of the small animals had come this far. I could see them, still by the entrance to the Telesync building. It appeared as if they were reforming back into two of the cat monsters, but only half of the animals had returned. The lizard jumped on the upturned truck. It didn't have eyes or a mouth, but its shark-like hammerhead swung at me like an axe, and I jumped back. This close, I still couldn't tell what manner of small animals this beast was made of. I had expected lizards or something, but that wasn't it. I swung the knife, but missed. I angled away so I'd have a chance to run for the Ford. I clutched the keys in my left hand. The monster jumped, and I dived out of the way, slicing upward with the knife. The knife cut through the side of the large beast much more easily than I expected. Bits of it flew away, detaching as they fell. Earthworms. That's what it was made of. They wriggled on the ground. I ran toward the Focus, key extended. Nearby, the cats were almost fully reformed. I shoved the key in the lock and... yes! I yanked open the door and jumped in. I cranked the engine just as the worm monster smashed the side of the car, turning it 180 degrees, nearly flipping it. I punched the engine and I took off across the lot, angling toward the lone exit. The cats gave chase, but the car moved faster. After a moment, I was clear. Blood poured down the side of my head and from my jawline. I didn't even know I had this much blood in me. I kept seeing the little boy blow the hole through his father's face over and over. How did I miss that he'd been a part of the grinder? Michelle and Yuri should have told me. Of course they hadn't. They were his parents, and they were protecting him. I wondered how it had happened, and most importantly, how they had gotten him back. Parents do strange things to protect their children. Love, it's the single strongest instinct a human has. It's what my mom's defense attorney had said during the closing statements of her trial. I sped up, driving parallel with the grinder oozing down the street. I needed to get ahead of it, to implement my plan as soon as possible. At every turn, something new would pop up or attack me, like my face being torn to shreds by a psychotic cat. I couldn't handle anymore. I had to get this finished. I had to save Niff.